Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally. Randy.
Thank you for tuning in today to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. The topic I'll be discussing today is life after death. Where do we go from here? Death is one of the greatest mysteries of life. Haven't we all thought about what happens to us after we die? Every religion claims to have the answer, but all the answers differ. There are many points of view about the afterlife. Is there a definitive answer? Perhaps we are not meant to know the answer. Perhaps we could not fully comprehend the answer. In the show today, I'll present the facts and theories as I know them, and then you can draw your own conclusions. For many years, I have had an insatiable curiosity about the afterlife. I don't remember what sparked it or exactly when it began. I remember as a young child, I was terrified of the thought of dying. I used to cry to my mother all the time that I didn't want to die. Looking back, I can see that my fear of death was based on my belief of the finality of it. Today, my acceptance of death and my comfort with it comes from my understanding that we never fail to exist. Earth is our school and heaven is our home. When we die, we are just going home. Through this show, I'll offer you my perspective on life after death, substantiated by personal experiences, case studies, and scientific research. Though I do believe in God, I am not a religious person. My point of view never comes from a religious slant. So if you're listening today, hoping to understand more about life after death from a religious point of view, you may be disappointed. I'm sure there are other shows and articles that will offer that perspective to you. Since Earth and the other side, where we go after we die, are merely two different dimensions, a difficult concept for most of us to grasp, communication between the two dimensions is absolutely possible. I have personally experienced this awe-inspiring phenomenon on a few occasions. I am thoroughly convinced that our loved ones who have passed on are very much alive and very accessible to us. I'll tell you about my latest experience. A little over a year, I had a reading with a medium named Jonathan Lewis. Jonathan, a friend of renowned medium John Edward, knew nothing about me. He was in New York. I was in Florida. He did the reading over the telephone. And I have to say that it was one of the most joyous, impactful experiences of my life. Not the least bit eerie. I made the appointment hoping to hear from my ex-husband, Keith, who had died 20 years prior from a drug overdose. I'm happily married and have long since moved on, but I wanted to connect with him because I was in the middle of writing my memoir, Finally, and Keith was a main character in the story. There were times, as I was writing my manuscript, that I felt his presence very strongly, especially when I was recalling painful experiences that had to do with him. Due to limited time, I can't elaborate on that story, but if you'd like to hear it, you can listen to my July 19th show, A Woman's Journey to Find Hope, Love, and Destiny. So Jonathan was passing on the information, but he didn't know who was coming through. I knew almost immediately. There was no doubt that it was Keith. In the first 5 minutes of the reading, Keith's smart-ass personality came through loud and clear. He said that in life, some people thought of him as obnoxious, but he didn't care because that's just who he was. That was all very true. He said that he died from drugs and that he had died quickly and alone. Those facts were also true. And he wanted me to pass the message on to his mother that he, his brother, and his grandfather, all three dead, were worried about her because she wasn't doing very well. Again, because of limited time, I tell the story of what he said in my blog article entitled Message to Loved Ones Confirms Belief of Life After Death. If you read that article, then you can, I tell exactly what happens with that message that I was supposed to pass on. Keith described the three pets that we had together and that had died many years ago. And he described my husband's German Shepherd that had died over 20 years ago. He even knew the circumstances of his death. My husband and Keith never met. Keith and my husband's dog had never met. I'd only met the dog once. He wanted me and my husband to know that he had all four animals with him and he was taking care of them. The next thing he talked about were things that he could only have known by recently watching me. Keith was making references to butterflies, but Jonathan didn't want to pass that information on to me because it seemed too general and too cliche. But Keith insisted that Jonathan mention the butterflies. Well, I knew immediately what he was referring to. Whenever I find a butterfly outside that has died, I bring it inside and attach it to an artificial topiary that I keep in my house. Very few people know that I do that. Amazing. Keith commented that he likes my husband, that I did a much better time the second time, that I did much better the second time, and that my husband was much easier to train than he was. No truer words have ever been spoken. He knew a lot about my husband and even described a very unusual birthmark in the shape of a dagger that my husband has on his lower back. It looked like a wound from a previous life, and I'm always kidding my husband about it. But it's in a place where no one can see it. Then he kidded me about giving my husband a hard time about fixing the bathroom tile. The conversation he was referring to actually took place 1 week before. He was right. So I could go on and on. There were so many accurate details shared in the hour and 15 minutes that he came through. It was a fascinating experience and left me totally convinced that there is life after death. I'm not the only one who believes in it. According to various polls taken on the subject, the majority of people around the world believe in some form of life after death. Yet, it is often claimed that there is no evidence to prove that life after death exists. That is simply not true. In fact, the evidence is overwhelming. In 1977, a groundbreaking book called Life After Life was published. It had been written by Dr. Raymond Moody, a psychologist and medical doctor. Before his book was published, very few people had ever heard of the near-death experience. Doctors and psychiatrists had heard reports of them from their patients who had been resuscitated after dying on the table, but had been reluctant to risk their reputations by sharing these bizarre incidents with others. And many people who had had these experiences did not talk about them for fear of embarrassment or having their sanity questioned. Dr. Moody, a pioneer in the field of near-death experiences, wrote Life After Life after studying 150 people who had been brought back to life after experiencing clinical death. He found that the testimonies and descriptions given by these people were incredibly similar. And these extraordinarily vivid near-death experiences were so positive that after the people were revived, many had a new lease on life and an unshakable belief in the hereafter. Based on his research, Dr. Moody concluded that the following experiences are common to all those who have had near-death experiences. After the person has been declared dead, they describe feeling more alive than ever. They float up out of their bodies and watch any efforts to resuscitate them from above. At first, they can't understand how they can be dead. But when they realize that no one can see them, they gain the understanding and accept that they have died. At this point, any earthly roles that they have played in life are gone, but the uniqueness of their personality remains. Any pain that they have suffered is gone. Any disabilities they had disappear. Their senses become more acute. Their memory is clear, and they feel energized. Then transcendental experiences begin happening. The people say that the feelings experienced are indescribable in our language, utterly beautiful and serene, beyond anyone's ability to put into words. They become aware of a tunnel and feel themselves going through it. A warm, brilliant, accepting light at the end of the passageway gives feelings of peace and comfort unlike anything they have ever experienced before. Relatives and friends who have died before them are waiting within the light, there to greet them and guide them through the transition. Their loved ones don't appear in a physical body, but more in a recognizable form of light, and they seem to be in the prime of their life. Then they are met by a religious figure that they feel close to. Christians report being met by Christ. Jewish people may be met by God or an angel. Based on their religious beliefs, everyone has a different experience. The religious figure asks them one question. The communication does not take place in the form of words, but rather in the form of an immediate awareness. The essence of the question they are asked is, what have you done with your life, and how have you learned to love? Then they undergo a life review that is played all around them like a panoramic hologram. It's understood that everything we do in life is recorded and that everything, including our thoughts, has a consequence. through a third-party perspective, they watch themselves go through their entire life, from the point of birth until the point of death. During this review, they empathetically relate to all the people with whom they are interacting. They see the perspective of others and feel exactly what others feel, as if they shared their consciousness. One thing stated from everyone who has had a near-death experience is that life has nothing to do with fame, money, or earthly success. The most important thing in life is cultivating loving relationships with others. The near-death experience is so spectacular that the person going through it is reluctant to return to their body. Some are given messages and told they have to go back. Everyone who has a near-death experience reports that it fully transforms their life. They return with a greater understanding of their purpose and are driven to make the most out of their life. But they also no longer fear death. They accept that God will decide when it is time for them to leave this world. Not everyone revived after clinical death experiences all these stages, but there have been thousands of reports from those that do. Dr. Moody's findings have been tested and confirmed by renowned and respected physicians, psychologists, professors, and scientists all over the world. He has written several other books on the topic and has talked to thousands of people around the world who report having the same general experience after they die. And near-death experience reports have been the same for everyone, regardless of their life experiences or pre-existing beliefs, their religion, age, race, ethnicity, or level of education makes no difference. I have so much more I want to share with you, but first I'm going to take a brief one-minute intermission. I'll be right back. Life after death. Where do we go from here? I was talking about Dr. Moody. Dr. Moody was the catalyst that opened the door, paved the way, and made it more acceptable for other doctors and scientists to conduct their own life after death studies. In 1977, Kenneth Ring, a young professor of psychology at the University of Connecticut, read Dr. Moody's book, Life After Life. It greatly inspired him and motivated him to begin his own near-death experience research. His intention was to conduct more scientifically structured studies to back up Dr. Moody's findings. Dr. Ring and his co-researcher, Karen Cooper, began studying the near-death experiences of the blind. Their book, Mind Sight, documents 31 cases in which blind people accurately report visions obtained while they were clinically dead. One of the documented cases in their book involved a 45-year-old woman named Vicky Umapeg. Vicky, who'd been blind since birth, had been in a car accident and ended up in the emergency room of a hospital. After she was declared dead, the doctors and nurses worked on her and brought her back to life. Amazingly, when she was revived, she accurately reported seeing everything that went on while she was out of her body, as if she was sighted. And all the elements she reported from her near-death experience were the same as those reported by people who are sighted. However, once she was back in her body, she was blind again. An oncologist by the name of Dr. Jeffrey Long, who wrote the book Evidence of Afterlife, studied over 1,300 near-death experiences. It was the largest study ever. He found the consistency of the evidence astonishing, concluded, and I quote, "Near-death experiences provide such powerful scientific evidence that it is reasonable to accept the existence of an afterlife. I believe we have some answers to humankind's most perplexing question, what happens when we die?" One of the best known, respected, and reproducible scientific data proving the existence of reincarnation comes from the life's work of Dr. Ian Stevenson. Dr. Stevenson is a psychiatrist with impeccable credentials. He is now the director of the Division of Personality Studies at the University of Virginia. Using strict scientific protocol, Dr. Stevenson methodically documented thousands of cases of very young children who, without hypnosis, were able to recall the details of their past life. After first ruling out any possible alternative explanations, Dr. Stevenson identified the deceased person that the child said they were in their last life, and then gathered all the information he could find about that person. In every case where he was able to locate records, he was able to verify the facts given to him by the reincarnated child. There are doctors and scientists who argue that near-death experiences are just hallucinations, chemical reactions, dreams, or mental disorders. All of those theories have been proven to have flaws. Those who have experienced any of these alleged arguments against near-death experiences and also had a near-death experience say that the two were very different. Those who have had a near-death experience say that it was more real than any dream or reality they know. So, does everyone have a pleasant near-death experience? What happens to those who commit murder or other heinous crimes? Studies show that good people and bad people experience the same near-death experience elements, but the impact of the experiences are different. Everyone, good or bad, goes through a life review where their conscience awakes and they are fully able to empathize with those they've wronged. They experience the wrongs they did to each person as if it was actually happening to them. All inner suffering comes from the unforgettable memories of what we've done for others, to others. All punishments inflicted upon us are self-punishments. We have to judge ourselves and consciously live with the torment of what we have done. We come face to face with the knowledge of the two forbidden things in the universe, killing others and killing ourselves. It is understood that killing changes God's plan for those who die an unnatural death. Those who commit suicide obviously do it to end their suffering in life. But instead of experiencing relief in death, they experience confusion and torment. Suicides don't describe the same beauty as others who pass on, and they don't reunite with their loved ones who have died before them because they are in a different place. Some revived suicide victims describe arriving at a place of punishment, a dark prison or dungeon. There, they have to face their greatest enemy in death, themselves. When they go through their life review and feel the pain they cause to the ones they've selfishly left behind, they cannot overcome the horrific memory and cannot forgive themselves. Their souls cannot rest. They know they've done something terrible and forbidden. Through suicide, they have thrown the precious gift of life back in God's face. They have broken an established law that dictates that each of us has to live out the lessons and pains of our life. Violating that law means being faced with even heavier burdens the next time around. I have also heard that suicides recycle back into life immediately and have to bear their burdens all over again. Believe it or not, the average person reincarnates about 100,000 times. With each death, we work our way up through several levels of consciousness. We have to pass each level before going to the next, just like we do in school. The first two levels are dark. They are a type of self-inflicted purgatory for those who have done bad things. Mostly, everyone else quickly moves through the first three levels. So where do we go when we die? Where exactly is heaven? When we pass on, we experience floating up. But heaven and where we exist now are actually parallel dimensions. Some say that the heavenly dimension is about 3 feet higher than ours, which explains why spirits often appear to be floating 3 feet off the floor when we see them. Space and time as we know it do not exist. It is not a three-dimensional realm. Though it is very hard for us to conceive, those on the other side can be at several locations at one time. No matter what the distance, they move effortlessly from one place to another merely by thought. And through their thoughts, they can experience any reality by simply desiring it. The place we go to when we die has been described as too beautiful, colorful, and magnificent for words to convey. There are gardens, meadows, animals, and lakes. The angels sing with beautiful voices that sound nothing like we've ever heard. There are buildings, halls of study, and cities. Learning and growing are the primary focuses. Any subject of interest may be studied. Everyone has a job to do and stays very busy. Some work with children. Some tend to animals. Some help other people to cross over and find their way. As souls, we tend to socialize on the other side with specific groups. The group members also tend to reincarnate into life with each other. We play different roles in each life that we've carefully planned out with others. These reciprocal roles help us learn our lessons, pay our karmic debts, and advance to higher levels. Sometimes we may go outside of our soul group and pair up with others to meet a particular challenge we need to face in our next incarnation. So the people we meet in life are not met accidentally. and they're not strangers. It has all been carefully orchestrated by us. For most, life on the other side, our eternal home, is peaceful, restful, and harmonious. We are there to reflect and prepare for the challenges of our next life. Reincarnating is the way we speed up our growth. Since negativity, adversity, and temptation do not exist on the other side, some souls forget how difficult life can be. Attempting to quickly advance to higher levels, some souls may become overly ambitious and plan to take on very difficult, unadvisable challenges in their next incarnation. Souls can continue to grow without reincarnating, but by comparison, that growth happens at a snail's pace. Some souls choose to never come back into life, opting to work on themselves for as long as it takes. Some choose to become spirit guides, dedicating themselves to someone else's lifetime by guiding them and keeping them on their chosen path. My perspective is that I'm going to work as hard as I can while I'm here because I don't want to come back. I dearly value this life and all the wonderful gifts I've been given, but it's been tiring and pretty tough to navigate through. Wow, I've run out of time, so let me just say this. Hopefully, you've been inspired by the information I shared with you today. You have every reason in the world to be skeptical of the facts I presented to you, so I urge you to do your own investigations and draw your own conclusions. Just keep an open mind. There is a wealth of information that can be found in books, articles, interviews, and videos. Personally, I find it all very comforting. I hope you do too. If you visit my blog at randygfine.com, you will also find several articles that I have written on the life after death topic. Please feel free to contact me with any comments and questions you may have by emailing me at afinetimeforhealing@randygfine.com. Be sure to tune in on Thursday, October 6th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time as I discuss the topic, Difficult Mothers, Life Without the Guilt Trip. All my shows will be archived and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Talk Radio show host and author, Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing. Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.